just want to take 1 minute and again, thank you for the wonderful affirmation last Sunday. If you weren't here, last Sunday was our 10th anniversary to the day, the pastoral family here at West Heights. And the way you, the words that were expressed by Randy, representing the board and the church, and the beautiful gift you gave me of the new guitar, just said very clearly to our family how much you appreciate us and affirm us, and we are so appreciative for that. It was very touching. I'm not an emotional person, as you know, right? And it might not have shown on my face, but inside, I was very moved. In fact, this week's sermon will be shorter than normal as I was preoccupied playing the new guitar. Perhaps that was your plan. As I said last week, as I begin this second decade of West Heights, I want to recommit to our mission statement. We say with our mission statement that West Heights Church is here to help people to find and follow Jesus. I just wanted to go back to that and just reconsider, what does it mean when we say we want to follow Jesus? What are we saying there? And last word, I looked at one word that Jesus used, and he kind of infused meaning into the word, and he used the word disciple to describe us as we follow him. And so we looked at what that meant. Today I want to look at another word that the Bible uses to describe what it means to follow Jesus. It's the word ambassador. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And you might be saying, well, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative sent out on a mission to build relationships. That's usually what an ambassador is. It's a representative sent out on a specific mission in order to build relationships. There are different kinds of ambassadors. You've heard of political ambassadors. There are economic and business ambassadors. There are cultural ambassadors. They even have these things called goodwill ambassadors. And the Bible says that when we follow Christ, we are a spiritual ambassador. We are Christ's ambassadors. So if you're a follower of Christ, the Bible says you're an ambassador for him in this world. So what does that mean? I would like you to consider some biblical ideas I think help define this word. I'm going to give you 4 ideas. These are what I consider to be very important from the Bible. There probably are more ideas you might have as well. Number one, I've been given a calling to represent Jesus. So to explain this, I need you to understand the difference between your career and your calling. You need to know the difference between your job and your vocation. You might work at Tim Hortons, but you're not called to Tim Hortons. You might work as an insurance salesman, but you're not called to be an insurance salesman. There's a difference between your vocation and your job, between your career and your calling. Now, the word vocation comes from a Latin word, which is voca, from which we get our word voice, or from which we get the word vocal. So it's like a vocalist or a vocation. It means your calling. It has to do with your voice. So this week, if someone comes up to you and they ask you, what do? You can say, I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. Or I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a professional homemaker. So what's your disguise? Because you're an ambassador for Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, that's your primary calling. You're an ambassador for Jesus. You might be disguised as a mom, or a nurse, a truck driver, a mechanic, a realtor, salesman, whatever. That's your job. That's your career. But it's not your calling if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. In Timothy, it says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. I just include that verse because that verse is one of many verses that basically says we're called to be different. We're called to be separated from this world. In fact, you can just jot down these real quick. I'll go through these really fast. John 15, it says, we're called to be God's friends. Romans 1, it says, we're called to be his people. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, we're called to be holy. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we're called to speak for Christ. Galatians 5 says, we're called to serve each other. Colossians 3 says we're called to live in peace. Romans 8 says we're called to become like Jesus for God's purpose. 1 Peter 2 says we're called to suffer for him. 1 Peter 3 says we're called to bless those who curse us. 1 Timothy says we're called to eternal life. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, we're called to share his glory. That's your calling. You're called to be different. You're called to be separated. Not your career, but your calling. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a representative of Jesus. You're an ambassador. You have an assignment. And your assignment is to go and build relationships. Just like we're sort of doing with the youth builders this morning. We're saying they're going out on a mission and they're going to build relationships. That's the mission for all of us. That's the calling for all of us. Philippians, it says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So it says, if you're going to be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus, you've got to live like it. You can't just name the name without playing the game. You've got to back it up with your life. You need to remember that you represent Jesus. I mean, I think there's a good little phrase I heard one time, and you can ask yourselves this quite frequently. You can just say this to yourself as you're getting up and ready to go into your day's work. Just say, remember who you represent. So when you're going to play a pickup game of hockey, just say to yourself, remember who you represent. You're playing for the church softball team. Remember who you represent. You're at the store, you're in traffic, or there's a clerk that's really annoying and you want to chew them out. Say, remember who you represent. If you name the name of Christ, the Bible says you're an ambassador of Jesus. Paul also wrote in Ephesians, he says, therefore, I as a prisoner for serving the Lord beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Called to represent Jesus in the world. I've been called, you've been called. It's not just for pastors, it's for every believer. And then number two, I've been given a commission to fulfill. So this is the second thing an ambassador does. You're given a commission. The fact that's what they say to ambassadors. This is your commission. This is your diplomatic mission. In fact, embassies where ambassadors work are often called permanent missions. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Notice in this, the transfer of authority. I pointed this out recently, but I just want to just say something again. You know, obviously God has all the authority in the universe. In this verse, Jesus saying, you know, and he's given me that authority. But then he says, I'm going to authorize you. I'm passing the authority I received on to you. And he says, you know, go out and make disciples of all the nations. This verse, we call it the Great Commission. It's our co-mission. It's our mission in life. The Great Commission is not given to pastors. It's not given to missionaries. It's given to every believer, every follower of Jesus. It's not for priests or elders or professional evangelists. It's for every believer. The Great Commission, Jesus says, I give to all of my followers. It's your commission. So one day, God's going to say to you, what did you do with the commission I gave you? Did you do it? Did you do the mission? Somebody gave you the good news because they represented Jesus to you. Did you pass it on? Then he says, you know, take it to all parts of the world. You know, this winter, again, we're going to Nicaragua for one reason, the Great Commission. No, if it were not for the Great Commission, I would take that money and go on a great vacation. But we're going there because Jesus has taken all parts of the world. You know, the Canadian soldiers representing Canada and Afghanistan, they're not over there drinking martinis or margaritas and living to Jimmy Buffett. They're over there on a serious mission. They have a mission to accomplish. And Jesus says, here, this is your mission. He says in John 17, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Once again, this transfer of authority, transfer of responsibility. So the moment you step across the line of faith and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus with my life, he has his mission for your life. And it's to be an ambassador. I mean, of all the missions in the world, This is the most important mission. It's more important than a mission to Mars or a mission to some other country like Afghanistan. This is more important than every other mission. Like what Paul says. He says in Acts 20, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So he says, it's my job to complete my mission. And if you go on and read Paul's writings, he says at the end of his life, you know, he says, "I've finished the race." He's saying, "I've completed my mission." You going to be able to say that? One day you stand before God and he says, "Did you complete the mission?" And if you say, "I didn't even know I had one." Yeah, you do. And I'm telling you, God didn't put you here on earth just for yourself. He put you here on earth for a mission. And number three, I've been given the confidence to speak. I think sometimes we don't feel very confident talking about God to other people. We feel a little insecure. We feel a little unsure. We're a little timid. We're a little hesitant. And we start thinking things like, well, who am I to talk about Jesus? Who am I to tell people about God? I don't know what to say. I'm not a professional witness or something like that. I don't know what to do. But God says you're authorized. And he says whenever he asks you to do something, he promises to empower you with the ability to be able to do it, even to speak for him. A verse I read a couple weeks ago in Matthew 18, it says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." That's an amazing verse. I don't even understand all that that verse means. Because that verse is about, you know, how what we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. It's amazing. Amazing the connection between heaven and earth that you have. The authority you have as a follower of Jesus. That authority goes between heaven and earth. You have the authority to speak for Christ. You have the authority, the right to bind and to loose. That strong authority for the spiritual battle against the devil. After the sermon 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the devil. And I heard these young boys after church reflecting on what I said. And Peter said to his friend Billy, "Do you believe all that stuff that the pastor said about the devil, Billy? Do you think there really is a devil?" His friend looked at him and said, "Nah, it's just like Santa Claus, it's your dad." He said, "I have all authority and I'm authorizing you, and when you bind, it will be bound, and when you loose, it will be loose." The Bible says you're authorized because you're a minister of Jesus Christ. All of us are ministers of Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. It's not like I'm a minister only in title. But before Jesus, we're all the same. We're all ministers. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You don't have to be a full-time Christian worker. Every believer is a minister. The Bible teaches that over and over again. And it says you're authorized to speak on my behalf. And then number four, I've been given a country to serve in. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, your home is not on earth. Your home is in heaven. This is just the place you serve. Your homeland is heaven, and your identity is in eternity. You're only going to spend a few decades here, 10 if you're lucky. But you're going to spend trillions of years on the other side of eternity. And God created you to be part of his family, and you're going to spend millions and trillions of years together as part of his family. And he just wants you to remember that you're only here for a short while. This isn't your home. You know, this is just a short-term assignment. You ever thought about where an ambassador lives? Does an ambassador live in their home country or a foreign country? They live in a foreign country. So, for example, Canada's ambassador to China lives in China. And Canada's ambassador to Japan lives in Japan. They don't get to live in their home country. Ambassadors don't live in their home country. They live in somebody else's country. In fact, during the wars, they even live in the enemy's country. So he says, when you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, he's saying, this world is not your home. It's just the country that you're serving in. You're just passing through. Canada is a great country. It's not really my home. You were made for heaven. And Peter says, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. What a great phrase. Foreigners in the land. So an ambassador, you know, typically doesn't even buy a permanent home. Whether they live in Paris or Beijing or anywhere else, they rent. Why? Because they know it's a short-term assignment. Because they're an ambassador. There'll be a new administration, and the new administration will send new ambassadors. So they don't buy a home, they just rent. They know they're not there permanently. Nobody moves to a country as an ambassador thinking they're going to live there the rest of their life. They're on short-term assignment. So what I think the Bible is saying to us is this, that don't get too comfortable living in this world. You're just an ambassador. It's temporary. Don't think that this life is all there is, just what you have here on earth. Don't get sucked in the myth that all there is the here and now. Don't forget your role. Your role isn't just to create a cushy little pad for yourself and make your life as comfortable as possible. That's not your role. Your role is to be an ambassador. Your role is to represent Jesus, to fulfill your mission, to speak his name with authority. And you're doing it in a foreign country. You know, historically, in the Anabaptist tradition, which the Brethren of Christ is part of, they didn't like always to take oaths of allegiance to their country or sing their national anthem, some of them, because for this very reason I'm talking about this morning. Because they recognize this isn't really their home. Paul said in Philippians 3, they're headed for destruction, the God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. See what the verse is saying? Saying, you know, it's a mistake these people make, these unbelievers make. They only think about the here and now. They only think about life here on earth. But we're different because we're citizens of a different place. And one day we're going to go there where Jesus Christ lives. So he's saying, don't just, you know, think about the temporary. Think about eternity. Think about what's going to happen for all of the rest of eternity, not just what you're going to experience now. Don't make the mistake of thinking about, you know, just the temporary. You know, think like the world thinks. Get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest. You know, I've said before, your valuables and your values have nothing to do with each other. Life isn't about the acquisition of things. Don't get caught up in things or think that's what life is all about. Because the greatest things in life aren't things. It's people. The Bible says that life is a test. In other words, God puts things in front of us to see how we'll respond. And it says it's a trust. In other words, we're given resources and we're to be stewards of it. But it also says clearly it's a temporary assignment. We're in a foreign culture. So we've got a passport, but this isn't really our ultimate home. So what am I supposed to do while I'm here? Ever thought about that? I mean, after you become a believer, the moment you cross the line of faith and decide to follow Jesus, why doesn't God just take you out right there? Right? Take you home to heaven. You go in there anyway. Why does he leave you to live, you know, for another 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 years in the sin and suffering, sorrow and the sadness and the depression and despair and discouragement and the problems and the pressures and the difficulties? If you're a believer, why doesn't he just take you home to heaven? Why does he leave you here on earth? To be an ambassador. That's why. There are only two things you can't do in heaven. You can have fun in heaven, you can sleep in heaven, you can rest in heaven, you can have fellowship with other people in heaven, you can pray and you can worship and you can be creative in heaven, you can eat in heaven with no calories. Don't quote me on that, but I'm really hopeful. There are only two things you can't do in heaven. One of them is sin, because it's a perfect place. But the other is to be an ambassador to unbelievers and tell people who don't know the good news. So there are two things you can't do in heaven: sin and share your faith. Which of those two do you think God leaves you here to do? Why does he leave you here on earth? He leaves you to tell somebody else. That's the role of an ambassador, a representative, authorized to speak. I've been given a mission to tell others the good news of the gospel. So what am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says three things you want to do as an ambassador. I'll go through these really quickly. Number one, I must shine as an example. So Jesus said in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. What's he saying here? He's saying an ambassador is a person who sets an example. I have to set an example for other people. That's the first thing God wants you to do. You represent him, so you have to represent his character. You know, you have patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, self-control, all those great things. And Peter says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. They'll give honor to God when he judges the world. Just saying, the first job of an ambassador is set a good example. You know, a thing to remember is this, we're always representing our country. You know, what if you're the only Christian some people ever know? That's possible today. What if you might be the only Bible some people ever read? New Testament says we're living epistles. We're the Bible walking around. And there's plenty of Christians that make God look bad. Would you agree with that? You know, they say stupid things. They're kind of dogmatic. They're mean. They're cranky. That's not good. There are two reasons why people don't know the Lord. One of them is that they've never met a Christian, and the other is they have. See, if that's what it means to follow Jesus, I don't want to be part of that. So I'm an ambassador. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a follower. So my question to you is this, how well does your daily life represent Jesus? Can anybody look at you and tell what God's like? Can anybody look at you and say, man, Jesus must be really kind. Because that person is, there's so much kindness in their life. Jesus must be really compassionate. So much compassion in that person. Jesus must be really forgiving. Because that person, they don't hold it against you. Returns good for evil. What does your life say about God, the people around you? And number two, I have to share the message. I have a message to share, and that's the good news of the gospel. I mean, it's interesting to me that ambassadors often are sent to negotiate peace. In fact, they're often used in history. As from history you learn, they're often used to end wars. They're often used to bring reconciliation. I don't think it's an accident that God uses that term, because that's exactly what we can do when we follow Jesus. And Paul wrote it this way. He said, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What's it mean when it says he's no longer counting our sins against us? He's saying that Jesus has come to end the war between us and God. You know, that's what the Bible says, that when you do not give your life to Jesus, you are at war with God. You're at war with God. You say, well, how am I at war with God? Because of that, the war is that conflict in your soul about who's going to be God, you or God. I went through that war. I didn't want God to be God. I wanted to run my life. I wanted to make my decisions. I wanted to set my own direction. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But that's pride. That's sin, according to the Bible. You might not even know you're at war with God, but Jesus came to bring us back into a relationship with God. So he says we are at war with God, but God wants us to be friends with him, and Jesus is the way that relationship is restored. But we get the message of Jesus. We get to give out the message of Jesus. That's why it's called the message of reconciliation, the message of peace. The amazing thing is, it's so important, but God's given us the authority to do it, as I said earlier. I don't know if you've ever bought a car, but you know when you buy a car at a dealership, you go through this little routine, right? You find a car you like, then you go into the office, and you want to start negotiating the price, so you sit down, you sit across from the guy, sometimes a young guy, and he, you know, you tell him the price, say, here's what I'm prepared to pay, and then he sort of hems and haws, and, you know, he says, well, we could probably go this low, and then you get to this point where this is the way it typically goes, it seems like. He says, well, I've got to go and talk to the manager. You know, and they get this good cop, bad cop thing going. You know, I really want to sell you this car. I'm here for you, Mr. Lester. I want to take care of you, but it's the manager. One guy went like this. You know? He's the bad guy. So he goes back in there, and they're in there for a while, icing you or something. I don't know what they're doing. But, you know, and then they come out, and he's the hero. He says, oh, I promised to raise his child so I could get you this price, some crazy thing like that. You know, I'm always kind, but I always want to say to the guy, say, listen, if you don't have the authority to do this deal, I want to talk to the guy that does. Like, don't you feel that way? Why am I going through you, this middle guy? Take me to the guy who has authority to make the deal. You know, the amazing thing about the message of salvation, the message of reconciliation, the message of peace is God has given you the authority to close the deal. So you can say to people, would you like to have your sins forgiven? I can offer that to you through Jesus. Would you like to have a home in heaven? I can offer that to you through Jesus. I don't have to check with the pastor. I don't have to check with the priest. I don't have to check with anybody because I'm an ambassador. And number three, I must show love. If you're going to be an ambassador, you've got to have a big heart. You've got to show love. That's what an ambassador does because you represent God and God is love. You say, well, how do I show love to my family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and my boss? How do I do it? I just want to quickly mention one way. There's a lot of ways you could do this, but I'll mention one way. That is to meet other people's needs. When you use your life to meet other people's needs in a practical way, you are loving them. You're picking them up. You're helping them. You're encouraging them. You're taking them to the doctor. You're helping them with a deal. Or you're getting their groceries with them. You're praying with them. Whatever it would be, that's what the Bible says is an act of love. That's what an ambassador does. Paul wrote this. He says, we love you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. You know, I love some of the plans we have for Nicaragua this winter. You know, this week was our information night. If you missed it, you can still go. Don't chicken out. Put it on your bucket list. I'm coming after you. You know, we're going to build a church and we're going to do kids programs. You know why we do it? Because ambassadors have big hearts. We just don't care about people's souls. We care about all their practical needs. You know, if you're going to be an ambassador, I'm just saying to you, you got to get out of the embassy. You got to get out where people are hurting, where people need you, where they need love, where they need your help and your concern. You've got to get out of the embassy into the interior. So when we close the service in a few minutes, we're going to sing a song called Send Me Out. Imagine if you were asked by the Prime Minister to be an ambassador to an enemy nation. I'm not going to say any country, but you can imagine an enemy nation. If you went there, you'd probably have to learn their language, and you'd have to adapt to their customs, and you'd have to learn the cultural differences, and you'd have to learn all these things just so you could be polite and so you could accomplish your mission of trying to have a relationship. But as an ambassador, you wouldn't be able to isolate yourself from the enemy. You couldn't stay in the embassy all the time. To fulfill your mission, you'd have to make contact and you'd have to build relationships and friendships and you'd have to be friends with people you disagree with. But suppose you became so comfortable as an ambassador of a foreign country that you fell in love with it and you started preferring it to your own homeland. Your loyalty and your commitment would change. Your role as an ambassador would be compromised. And instead of representing your home country, you would start acting like the enemy. You would be a traitor. So when the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ, isn't it sad that some Christians have betrayed their king and his kingdom? They have concluded foolishly that this life here on earth, it's their home. It's not. The Bible is clear. The world is not your home. So don't get too cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. God doesn't want us to get too attached to what's around us because it's all temporary. This is not our final home. It's just like a fish would never be happy living on land, because it's made for water. An eagle would never be satisfied if it wasn't allowed to fly. You'll never be completely satisfied here on earth because you were made for something more, something else. And realizing it's just a temporary assignment radically alters your values. As C.S. Lewis said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. So it's a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success as the world defines it. There's an old story, it's often been told, of a retired missionary. As the story goes, this retired missionary is coming home from the mission field to America on a ship, on the same ship as a U.S. president. And when the ship arrived at the harbor, there was cheering crowds and a military band and red carpet and banners and media all welcoming the president home with great fanfare. But the missionary slipped off the same ship unnoticed. And feeling self-pity and resentment, the missionary began to complain to God. And God gently reminded him, "My son, you're not home yet." I don't think we'll be in heaven 5 minutes before we'll say, "Why did I place so much emphasis and importance on things that were so temporary? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time and energy and concern on things that just didn't last?" Because when life gets tough and when you're overwhelmed with doubt or when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, you need to remember, you're not home yet. At death, you won't leave home, you'll go home. Let's pray. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? "Dear Jesus, I realize that to follow you means to be an ambassador, means to represent you in the world. I ask you to forgive me where I failed in that mission. Forgive me for the times I've been silent and not shared your message. Forgive me for the times I've not been a good example. Forgive me for those times I've just been unloving and I've returned evil for evil rather than returning good for evil. I want my life to reflect you, Jesus. I want you to use my life to meet the needs of other people. How many get out of the embassy? And Lord, I ask you that when times are tough and I begin to focus on things I shouldn't, don't matter, help me to remember this is just temporary. One day I'll be with you for eternity. I want to hear you say, 'Well done and good and faithful servant.'" If you've never invited Christ into your life, just say, "Jesus Christ, come into my heart right now. I want to be on your team. I want to follow you. I want you to be my God, my manager, my boss. I want to learn to love you and to trust you and to be your representative. Thank you for ending the war. Thank you for offering the message of peace. Thank you for offering forgiveness. I ask you to give me that forgiveness. In your name I pray. Amen."